Previously on the Adventure Zone.
You melt the snow in front of Keith, and he eats shit. And then he stands up, looks back at you, Aubrey, and is just kind of staring at you, dumbfounded.
We gotta get this thing back to the lodge. I know, but look at it, man. It's gonna die if we don't do something. Hell, we got veterinary equipment down there.
You were targeted. That means that there is a motive behind these attacks.
What if Billy and the other two, they're just like the foot soldiers?
Why was the funicular attacked?
Your friend was there, and she's an employee of the Park Service, but what does that have to do with the general store?
I take it out of his mouth, and I slip it onto his wrist.
He transforms. Do you want to decide what he looks like?
Yeah, he looks exactly like Ryan Gosling.
Duck Duck Gosling is what we'll call this arc.
Yowzers.
Ba ba land.
Everybody at home listening, so Griffin did a shit ton of work in Roll 20. It's going to change the literal game. But one of the things that he done did was compile all of the things that we should have known and written down that we didn't. Maybe Dad did. I don't know. He's a nerd. But
he's
got all of these clues in there, and I've done figured this whole thing out. I can see it all now. Wheels within wheels. I know exactly what's going on. Also, another behind the scenes, what really helped, went back and listened to the last episode.
How novel.
I know. And I'm ready to solve the puzzle, Alex.
Hey, listener, can I suggest that you do that, too, if you haven't been doing that? Go back and listen to last, especially when we take a calendar month between releases. Go back and make sure you download it separately, and please up your donation to reflect the fact that you're listening multiple times.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's thievery and theft.
It's stealing.
Yeah. Federal
I also want to say, I just said I'm ready to solve the puzzle, Alex, and I should have said Pat, and I'm really mad at myself.
No one says that.
They don't say
someone
that?
Says, I don't think I'm ready to solve the puzzle, Pat. I don't think you may address as Pat Sajak
that's
by
true.
His name anymore. I think he would think that's threatening.
Do they just say Mr. Sajak?
Mr. Sajak,
sir?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They just go whole episodes without even acknowledging that he's fucking there. They care about the board, they care about their letters and their precious fucking wheel, but Pat Sajak doesn't get the time of day.
They say, pardon me, wheel lord. Yeah. I'm ready to solve your riddle now, and save my family from the dungeon you've imprisoned them in.
Is Pat Sajak the wheel lord, or is he just like the mouthpiece for the wheel lord?
No, so Pat Sajak is the lord of the wheel. He imprisons all the contestants' families before every episode and then makes them play to free them.
But only one person wins, Justin.
The one thing about it is that there's two correct answers to every puzzle. It's what the letters spell and also his true name.
Right.
So if you ever answer his true name,
but
for any
you have to get him to say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's a tough game, Wheel of Fortune.
People have only found so far three of the letters. And
they're more runes than anything.
Sort of runes.
And that's why he's aged over the time, because, you know, he's immortal. But once you find those letters, it takes about, I don't know, 3 years.
Did you say immortal?
No. Nope.
He's immortal. That's a portable immortal. That's somebody who can go somewhere and live forever.
All right. That's good, because we actually got all of our sort of diversions and drifting from the story out of the way, like at the top of the show, which is super convenient. Now we can just like plot, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
So here's the thing that I figured out that I want to, because I know that this is something that we were trying to figure out last episode. Griffin, tell me if I'm right, because you have to. The reason that the general store was attacked was to steal fertilizer.
That's correct.
Yeah. Whoa, Nelly!
I don't know why I'm just like telling you that, but like it seems like such a
well because we've been in this arc for like 27 episodes.
Well, the bigger thing is it would have been a big clue back then when you like first saw it if you had like investigated that. There have been lots of times where like. You all investigated one thing instead of another thing, and so there's, like, information you didn't have. But at this point, like, I think that is largely, you know, you could probably... I think you probably just figured that out through context clues. I didn't write down he stole fertilizer. Travis just sort of sussed that out.
Who stole fertilizer?
The goat man.
Why?
Yeah. They're trying to grow something, Justin.
So
I know, and I solved that one.
This is turning into the Adventure Zone. So let's play the game Monster of the Week. So let's pick up right after... the great events of the last episode. You have now a Ryan Gosling on your team in the form of Billy, and you are still in Indrid's Winnebago.
I think that they were stealing fertilizer from the general store.
Indrid looks shocked because you just sort of said this like out of nowhere. It was almost like you were having a conversation with nobody.
Well, you know, here's the thing. At this point, I think this will surprise no one, but Aubrey has ADD, much like myself.
Sure.
And so oftentimes I will have whole conversations in my head that I don't share with anybody and then just say the conclusion out loud. So I'm going to say that is what has happened here.
All right, for sure. Indrid says, well, that would explain why why Leo's store was targeted. We still don't really know why Juno was targeted. But anyways, now that you can sort of take your turncoat friend here about town without fear of looky-loos, I mean, he does look like Ryan Gosling, which is going to attract quite a few looky-loos. But anyway, I'd recommend
but
you get out there.
But why would Ryan Gosling be... I think people will see it and be like, no, there's no way.
I mean, maybe he's doing sort of method research for the Land Beyond the Pines 2, I think it was called, or whatever.
And remember, you did agree, Indrid, to let us borrow your special glasses as kind of a disguise for young Billy. I don't know if you remember a month ago, but you agreed to do that.
He kind of smirks and he says, so you... you want to borrow my glasses?
Can I be straight? Here's the deal, Indrid. There's this big old cat in Sylvain that said he will make special stuff for us if we bring him certain things, and one of them was seer spectacles or whatever. That's you. Give us some glasses. I'm done dancing around. We got a whole town to save. Give us your fucking specs.
He says, wow.
Please.
Please.
He says, well, because you asked so nicely. And he slips off his spectacles. And instantly he transforms, and you all behold the Mothman. And he is terrifying to look at. I think there is a reason why sort of local mythos around the Mothman sort of depicted him as something to be feared. It is because his form is sort of traditionally terrifying. He has... these huge eyes, these huge wings, a just sort of exposed thorax and mandibles.
Oh, God.
And he is pretty upsetting to look at.
Give him damn glasses back.
Yeah, put them back on.
Yeah, you can wear the glasses.
Take
do
the
you
glasses.
Have like a pair of reading glasses or sunglasses or stuff that you're not using?
Yeah, any cool Ray-Bans that we could just have? Probably count.
He slips the glasses back on and he says, I'll see what I can find. And from outside...
Wait, hold on. Let me look in your cupboards. Hey, look. Found two glasses.
Perfect.
From outside, as he slips his spectacles back on, you all hear the sound of just like clanging and clattering. It sounds like trash cans are being knocked down outside, and you hear something fall to the ground. And like as he sort of slips his glasses back on, Indrid like looks to the windows and towards the door. And Indrid like to this point has been a sort of like ethereal, stone cold sort of figure, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, just like not super emotional. But now like he looks kind of worried because he was just the Mothman and something was there outside.
Aubrey's on the move.
Okay. You bound outside. Ned and Duck, are you heading out there too?
Ned doesn't really bound, but yeah, he'll kind of trail along behind.
Yeah.
Okay, as you all make it outside, you catch a figure, a person riding a dirt bike. They are wearing a sort of puffy winter jacket, and they have on a helmet that is covering their whole head, and they are on this dirt bike riding into the woods, sort of just beyond the Eastwood RV park that you all are at. You all can sort of just see them starting to take off.
Griffin, is there anything on the back of the jacket?
There is. You can just sort of make out sort of homemade, I think it's a homemade patch, that sure enough looks like a hornet flying in mid-sting.
My old nemesis, that person from a bunch of episodes ago.
That would be Keith.
Keith, of course.
Keith, the lieutenant of the...
Keith.
I'd say we go where the action is, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And okay. That's Keith. Is Keith where the action is?
Keith is the action.
Keith, it's where the action is.
Yeah, I mean,
hi,
sure.
I'm Keith.
Keith is the only action that appears to be present here. I mean, as you all are heading outside, you hear the Mothman just kind of grumbling. And he instantly starts it looks like he's packing things up. Inside of his Winnebago. No.
Did we get the spare glasses?
Yes, he managed to hand you a pair of spare reading glasses. Congratulations, you got those. Was it worth it?
Yes.
We don't know yet.
Fair enough. Okay, so you all are trying to pursue Keith. I think, Aubrey, you were sort of the first one to call this. Go ahead and, act under pressure as you are. I mean, you're trying to catch up with a dirt bike, which is probably going to be a tough putt, but let's see how you do. Oh my god,
how'd I do? Not great.
Aubrey got a three all told. That's quite bad. Okay.
But you know, Griffin, I learned something from my mistakes, and I'm gonna pick up an experience point.
You do pick up an experience point. Congratulations. Okay. You all run into the woods. I'm gonna take a hard move here. I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. Okay, you all hear the sound of the dirt bike sort of like cruising deeper into the woods as you run out of the Eastwood RV park chasing Keith. And then you hear the sort of telltale sound of a crash in the distance. And you hear like a scream shortly after this crash, and it seems to be like it is a long, pained howl. And then you hear another sound. You hear a clang, like the sound of metal hitting something, and then the scream stops.
I say we ought to run in the direction of the screaming that stopped.
Yes,
I agree.
Okay, you all
to action.
You all find the dirt bike. It is sort of like crumpled into a fallen tree, and it's still sort of like faintly sputtering and dying. And then you see a clearing just beyond that log and see Keith, and he is on the ground. His helmet is off. You can like clearly see his face. You see this lieutenant of the Hornets, which if you remember during the Lunar Interlude, was very antagonistic towards you. And then Aubrey used magic and he kind of noticed that because of a bad role. And he's in a bad way. One of his legs is like very clearly pretty fucked up, and he is unconscious and is just like bleeding from the head. And the reason for that, you realize very quickly, is the goat man standing over him. The goat man that is wielding
a goat man, Griffin.
A goat man that is holding a shovel. And you put together that this goat man just knocked Keith right the fuck out.
Problem solved.
You thank the goat man and head back into the city where you complete your quest and receive 50 gold coins.
Now, is Billy with us?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you guys have to like tell me stuff like that. I think
wherever we go, he go.
I mean, if you bring him with you.
Yeah, well, I think we brought him with us. We're in charge of him. We need to keep an eye on
him. Okay, if you brought Billy with you, the goat man turns and looks towards you, holding this sort of grisly shovel as he stands over this human being that he just sort of destroyed, and looks at this like new person that is with you and kind of cocks his head, sort of curious, and Billy starts to like take slow steps toward the goat man, kind of like with his hands up, trying to keep him calm.
I say Ned takes the watch off of Billy's wrist.
You just like pull it off?
Yeah, just stop him and just kind of pulls the watch off.
Okay, as you do so, he transforms back into his Goatman form. And now that like you all have sort of gotten to know Billy, you can kind of recognize some of the physiological differences between these two. Like Billy is a smaller form than this goat man with the shovel is. And as you take off the watch and Billy turns back into a goat man, the other goat man looks confused at first, and then he looks angry and he starts charging at Billy with the shovel up.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to tackle the angry goat.
Okay. Roll to kick some ass.
Wasn't trying to kick this poor goat's ass.
Isn't angry goat an herbal thing?
No, Dad's right. I'm going to kick this poor goat's ass.
I just don't know what else it could be. There is a thing in kick some ass about like put them where you want them, which I think for a tackle would be like on the ground.
Yeah. But I guess I'm still risking the getting hurt. Anyway, here it come.
There it is.
That's a 10.
On a 10, you and the goat man deal harm to one another. I think, with your tackle, you probably are just like dealing one harm, right? Because you're coming at him unequipped. And as you do so, I think he just headbutts you as you collide, and he's got, he's got some horns, and that feels pretty awful. You take 2 harm, which I'm pretty sure is just negated by your natural armor. And you get to choose one. You gain the advantage, take +1 forward, you inflict terrible harm, you suffer less harm, or you force them where you want them.
I'm going to force them where I want them, onto the ground.
Okay. You do so.
Aubrey then takes that opportunity to move over to Keith.
Okay.
And kind of holds her hands over him and says out loud, I would like the bleeding to stop.
Can you do that?
There is healing in use magic.
Heal 1 harm from an injury or cure a disease or neutralize a poison?
Yes.
Poison.
Okay. A poison.
I want to heal a poison. Guy.
Hey, your mom. Look at this schmuck. I'm going to neutralize him.
Okay, so go ahead and roll your ball.
A 7.
Okay. That is just barely a mixed success. On a mixed success, your spell works imperfectly. Choose your effect and a glitch. Your effect is you are healing 1 harm from an injury. The keeper will decide what effect the glitch has. So the glitches are the effect is weakened, the effect is of short duration. You take 1 harm, ignore armor. The magic draws immediate unwelcome attention. It has a problematic side effect.
I'm going to say...
Some of these are not, like, applicable, right? Like, why would you take 1 harm from this? How could this be a short duration?
Let's go with draw unwanted attention.
I love you, Travis.
Yeah.
You're such a kind and giving brother. Okay, you do this, and the broken leg is like broken, and there's that magic is not just going to. This isn't Harry Potter with fucking a potion that makes bones like fix. But the head wound, it just kind of it doesn't like seal up as much as it sort of instantly kind of like coagulates and stops bleeding. The side effect of this is while you're in the middle of doing this, Keith opens his eyes and just like sees you point blank doing magic on him. And I think he's too sort of like stupefied to like do anything about it, but he sees you doing magic.
Yeah, dude, I'm doing magic, saving your life, stay the fuck down.
He just closes his eyes and he goes back out. You've stabilized Keith, you have a goat man pinned to the ground. Let me do something, actually, because we sort of have something established about these creatures in an earlier episode that, like, it wouldn't make sense for them not to do here. The goat man that you have pinned to the ground does that, like, loud shrieking bleat. And you heard that once before, Duck, when you sort of fought the one goat man in the woods that made the other two appear. And as he does this, Billy, for a second, like, kind of turns towards you all, almost like he is losing whatever sort of peaceful part of himself he realized when you showed him kindness, Duck. But then he, like, shakes his head and turns back towards the goat man, and he looks very worried as this thing sort of screams. And sure enough, the third goat man, the one holding the shears, comes charging out of the woods towards your party. Now, Ned, I believe it's your turn in the action. What do you want to do?
Did we, how far, and I know I'm not Ned, I recognize that, I know that about myself. How far are we from Barkley's truck, which we used to get to the
park? I mean, you're, you're maybe a couple hundred feet or so. I mean, you ran away from the trailer park and, you know, chased a dirt bike down. Yeah. So, like, you got pretty far from the trailer park. Ned.
I think Ned is going to try to scare off the goat man with the scythe. Did you say it was scythe or
scythe?
Shears.
Oh, shears. Yeah, I thought you were saying that Ned now had a Ned now had a scythe.
He reaches into his pocket and gets his collapsible scythe.
I stole this from the Grim Reaper. okay, how are you doing that?
Just kind of running at him and just waving my arms and trying
to make yourself big.
It's a goat. I'm making myself big. He's a goat, for God's sake. He's not going to be that sophisticated a combatant, and he's going to be he's going to be confused because he sees one buddy down on the ground. He sees another buddy who seems to be with these other people. He's going to be in a vulnerable spot.
Sure, you can tell there's definitely a sort of vulnerability there in this charging monster goat's eyes.
Would that be act under pressure or manipulate someone?
I think it's definitely manipulate someone, right? That you're giving them a reason, which is like, hey, this is a confusing time for you, and I'm a big man who's, like, waving his arms around.
You're going through a lot of changes right now.
Don't you want to run away?
Yeah, so Ned just does just that. He just happens to be he has a big coat on. And he just goes running and making this wow noise.
Let's roll plus charm, and
it's an 8.
All right,
success.
So this is great. On a mixed success, they'll do it, but only if you do something for them right now to show that you mean it. If you ask too much, they'll tell you what, if anything, it would take for them to do it.
All right, stop. Role play this conversation. How on earth? I think the problem with this breakdown is that we said someone and it's like a goat person. So I don't know how they can sign or signal to Dad with body language.
You know what? That's fair. There's actually a rule in the book that you explicitly can't do this with monsters unless you have, like, a special monster skill that lets you talk with monsters. Justin is right. I fucked that up because it says for a normal person, these are monsters. I think it would be act under pressure. So we'll keep that roll. On a 7 and 9, the keeper is going to give you a worse outcome, hard choice, or price to pay. The price to pay is he's going to run into you, right? He's, like, charging at you at speed. You're going to take some harm, but the bigger thing that's going to happen is you're standing right next to Duck. He is going to sort of get knocked over, and they will go away, but both of them will go away. You will sort of lose your captivity on the one goat. So you can either let both goats go away, or this isn't going to work.
Yeah. All right. It doesn't work.
Oh, okay. It's going to be quite bad for you then.
Okay.
Okay. He just charges you with the shears. And
I really and truly doesn't faze him at all. Okay.
I mean, you didn't really think that one. I mean,
no, Mac, I didn't think that
you
one
can admit
through.
That's not your best plan no. that you've ever sort of done.
Well, no, that wasn't.
Can I, but,
you
can
know
I
what?
Help
maybe,
out?
Maybe the sight of blood will scare him off. Mine.
Yeah,
can
sure.
Can I help out? Not like I'm still after all this time, not 100% sure how help out works.
Right. So basically, if somebody's on the cusp, right, if somebody rolls a 6 or a 9 and you want to get them up to the 7 mixed success range or the 10 full success range, mm-hmm. then you can roll and give them a +1 on their roll.
But that wouldn't really help if you has an 8.
That is correct. Or whatever it got.
Well, then could I use magic to at least try to like divert the shears?
No, I'm no. This is the way the game works. Dad, you know, made the role he made, and I gave him a choice, and he chose not to do it. This thing just sort of it doesn't impale you with these shears. He wants to get you the hell out of the way because you can tell that this thing is charging at Billy. And the one that is on the ground, Duck, that you are holding down, like you kind of did a similar thing to Billy. This thing is acting way different. It is like screaming and wrestling against you, and like its eyes are rolling back. It is furious at sort of Billy's sort of existence right now, and the other one's doing the same thing. So as it's charging you, it doesn't impale you. It just sort of like holds the shears by one handle and slashes at you, and the force of the slash like knocks you out of the way, and you are also hit for 2 harm as it sort of just slashes you across the chest. And I think there's like a puff of down that comes out of your coat as this thing sort of cuts it open.
Okay, so do I add that to the other 2 harm I already had?
You should have been back at 0, I think.
Good.
Right?
Okay.
It's been
2 harm.
Yeah, we had some time.
Now. Yeah. Okay. Aubrey, now I think it's...
Ow! Gosh! Oh, shit! Damn,
yeah, this thing just
work.
This thing Bushido blades work. Ned to the ground.
The situation as I understand it is right now, I'm over Keith. Yep. Is at least a little stabilized and unconscious.
Yeah, Keith is fine. I'll give you, like, you used your action to get Keith to be fine. I'm not going to like cheat you out of that. He's injured and he's in a bad place, but he's not
going to
die.
Okay, I'm going to use magic.
Okay.
And I'm going to use force or wind to at the goat man's legs. Like,
so this is your magical attack, right?
Correct.
Then you just roll to kick some ass. So you roll plus weird, and then we'll resolve it from there. Wow, damn.
Yeah,
good rolls. Aubrey got a 10 on that roll.
I got a 10.
Okay. You blast this thing. How much harm do you do? Give me your tags. Like, you got blast. You have not used a magical attack in a while.
+1 harm forceful to a base, and my base is 2 harm.
Okay.
So,
all right. So this is 3 harm, right?
Yep.
Okay. You get an extra effect, right? Because you rolled, you got a 10. So you can gain the advantage, take +1 forward, give 1 to another hunter. You inflict terrible harm, +1 harm. You suffer less harm, or you force them where you want them.
I'm going to say force them where I want them because I want to knock them down.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to do that. You step in the way of this goat man, and he tries to do the same thing to you that he did with Ned, but like right as the shears sort of slash against you for 2 harm, which I think you block some of, right, because of your magic vest?
Yes, correct. So I take 1 harm.
You sort of hold out your hands, and like just as he comes in contact with you, I actually like the image of you like holding out your hands, and as he's like charging you, he like finds himself slowed by the wind that is like coming out of your hands, and just as you like lay hands on him, he goes flying. Is that kind of what you're wanting to do, just like knock him away?
Yeah.
You knock him away, and he just he fucking goes, dude. He goes flying into the distance, and you actually, he is like flying horizontal. He collides with a tree sort of backwards and bends kind of around the tree a bit. And you hear sort of a crack as he does so. And then he falls to the ground.
Oh, goodness. For 3 harm?
Yep.
Oh, golly.
This thing is a minion. So they are not going to be the hardiest of fighters.
Okay, Billy. I hope that's okay. Can you help me with Keith, please?
Billy looks kind of stunned for a second and starts to like walk towards his felled former companion. And then he like again is kind of like shaken out of like whatever primal instinct he seems to have, and he starts to walk over to where Keith is lying on the ground. Duck, we gotta like resolve this because you are still on top of this thing, and now like that it just saw one of its companions go down, it is like it is freaking out. It is starting to fight against you for real, for real.
I want to try to punch it in the head so it goes unconscious.
Okay.
No sword yet. I mean, I'm not Beacon staying sheathed. He would love to get up in this, I'm sure, but I'm just trying to knock this thing out.
I mean, this has to be a kick some ass, right? And I think if you do like enough unarmed harm to it, it's you can you know elect to make it unconscious rather than just kill it.
I feel like I should have some sort of advantage. I feel like if you're laying on top of something.
Yeah, I'll give you plus one for it. I think you set that up with your. Well, no, because you didn't really choose that with your former, right? If you had chosen, you gain the advantage and take plus one for it, I'd give it to you, but you didn't. So
that's
you,
fair.
You so
fair.
Fuck off.
This thing's bigger and stronger than you, so it is not unreasonable that I could just like kick you off and run away.
Okay. Well.
Holy shit! It's not going to do that. So these fucking rolls. That's a 12.
That's a 12 on that one.
All right.
I like how you say these rolls, but I'm looking at this line, Griffin. Yeah, there's a 10 and a 10 and a 12. There's also a 7, an 8, and a 3.
Yeah, the three was rough. Okay. Yeah, you two deal harm to each other. I think...
I picture them headbutting each other.
Yeah.
No, I think what it is this thing does get the upper hand for a second and kind of like rolls on top of you and punches you. You take some harm that is just negated by your armor because you're awesome. And then you roll back on top of it and clobber it. What's your extra effect here?
I'm going to take one forward.
Or give plus one forward to another hunter?
Sure. That's the right one.
This thing is looking pretty like pretty beat up at this point, but it is not quite unconscious yet.
I'm really struggling because I feel like in our interactions with Billy, I've humanized these things a lot more, and I'm really struggling with this fight because I feel like if they were just monstrosities, I would have already gotten, you know,
yeah, for sure,
a little bit of the snack, you know.
I mean, I don't hate that, right? Like these things have been sort of vilified since the, you know, the 80s when they first started showing up in Kepler, and they have been sort of dealt with extreme prejudice. And for the first time, you all kind of like turned one. So like this being doesn't seem to be as amenable to peaceful talks as probably Billy was. Hang. But
this one can't chill. Probably has zero chill on this one. We should have a chill rating for these monsters.
Okay, this one is zero. Billy is chill as hell. Chill AF, this one is not.
Now, Griffin, are you sure you want to use zero chill?
Yeah.
All right. See, like,
this is as low as the chill gets, Griffin?
Okay, the beast monster that absorbed forest animals and tried to murder you as like in the form of an 8-foot bear, that one had no fucking chill whatsoever.
Okay. So this is like a 4?
It's like a
2 chill.
Okay.
This is a 2. Okay. Yeah, wow, it's a big scale.
Ned, I think it's you, because all you've done so far is get stabbed.
So,
drag him.
So, other than bleeding in somebody's face, okay. So, is Duck still holding down the goat man?
Yes.
Okay, then Ned, he's going to use the chicane cane. And whack the goat man in the head.
Golf swing? Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be... It looks like it's about a par 3.
Sure. Okay.
So he's just going to rear back. And, I mean, for one thing, Ned's a little mad because he's wounded.
And besides... It was ruined.
And it's not like it's, you know, a really brave move because he's being held down.
Yeah,
he's basically attacking a helpless creature.
Roll to kick some ass, plus tough.
Kick some ass. Plus tough, which is 0, and that would be... Shit.
Oh, 7's a mixed success. You're fine.
Oh, great. Oh, great. More mixed success.
On a 7+, you all inflict harm on each other. This is not applicable. Duck is holding him down. You do a golf swing with your club before he can inflict any harm on you. I mean,
we could
was,
pull a hammy
teetering
or something,
on the edge.
The cane could break.
No, this isn't like a I can do something bad. This is just like how this normally works. You guys deal harm to each other. You swing this club down and knock him out.
Okay. And what happens to Ned?
He slips as he's doing it.
You you twist your shoulder good. No, I don't think I'm not going to deal any harm to you here. Okay, that's it. I mean, like, you have one goat man unconscious, one seemingly dead, and Aubrey and Billy are dragging Keith back to the truck. I'm guessing to get him to St. Francis Medical Center.
No, we're taking him to the infirmary in I almost said Great Wolf Lodge, but he knows far too much.
Okay.
Isn't that more of a pet hospital, though?
It is, so
yeah.
You'll have to deal with that. What else? What are the other two of you doing? Just taking off? Going with?
So we should stick together, I think.
Okay.
What about the unconscious go man?
Bring him.
Yeah, we'll just keep building our menagerie.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Seems unnecessary.
Yeah, come on.
We're going to have to build a second basement.
We should... I hate this. I don't know.
Are there any, like, chains in the truck from, like, snow tires or whatever? We can chain him to a tree and come back?
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah. I'll use the chains.
That's nice and humane.
I mean,
we could kill him, man.
I mean, we could bury him alive somewhere. Like, what are we doing? Like, this is fine. You put him in jail. He's in jail.
What?
He's in Woods jail.
He was in Woods jail. We, like, chain him up.
We're not going to leave him here. We'll come back, but, like... I don't want him to wake up in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you chain him up.
I have a great idea.
Okay.
I want to put him in the truck, and I'm going to take him to Indrid. Let the two of them kick it. See if he can get anything out of him.
Indrid. So, like, chain him up, but be like, hey, here's the goat.
You're going to stay at my friend Indrid's house.
You chain him up, and I'm assuming you and Ned, like, this is a big thing, probably need help dragging his weight back to the RV park. You drag him back, and as you all are sort of like getting loaded up, when you look inside the Winnebago, it has been all cleaned up, and Indrid is like unplugging the RV from the utilities hookup at the RV park, and he says, "Well, it's unfortunately my time here has come to an end."
Wait, where? What?
Whoa!
You all don't understand how people in this world feel about me. And I you all seem more reasonable than most folk when it comes to the beings from Sylvain, but that is unfortunately not true for the vast majority of you. I have been discovered before and only narrowly escaped my fate, so...
Do you mean this dude? Have this dude saw... And I point to, like, broken leg, unconscious guy.
I can appreciate that you have apprehended him. Are you mm-hmm. going to kill him?
Well, let me put it this way, Indrid. He also knows that I do magic and that there are goat men running around. So, like, we're kind of all in the same shitty boat, you and I and all of us. So, like, I don't see us, like, just letting him go scot-free, go tell everybody, you know what I mean? So... I don't think you need to move just yet.
Are you talking about Keith? Are you saying we're going to kill Keith?
Yeah,
we're going to kill Keith.
This is the conversation, right? Like, Indrid says, Aubrey, you're new at this. I have been in this game for a long time. And unless you're willing to put an end to this human's life, eventually the word is going to get out. And I am not going to be here when it does.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Hey, listen, I got a question for you, though. Are you done with your bago, or are you going to leave that there? What's the story with that?
I'm going to take it with me on the road. It's my vehicle.
Okay, well, listen, can we ask one thing of you, then? Can you take this goat man with you and then just, like, take him far away from here and leave him somewhere where he's not going to do any more harm?
Maybe you all have adventures out there on the road. Maybe.
If we could separate him from whatever it is that's running the show for a little while, might just give us a little room to breathe. I don't want to kill the thing, but maybe separating it is a solution. I'm not saying you got to do like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with the thing. Just take it 100 fucking miles out of town and then let it go, bud. It's not a big ask.
I think you would realize that that wouldn't work just because these abominations can't be outside of the 1 mile perimeter of the archway. So like if he did this, I don't even know what would happen. As he passed through the archway, like would the goat man just like turn to ash in his car? That might be an upsetting experience for Indrid. I want to actually back up because it felt like Aubrey was trying to convince him to stay, which would probably be a manipulate someone role. I don't want to just like, you know, force him out of the story if you can make a case for why he should stick around. And it sounds like that's what you're trying to do. So I want to like give you the agency.
I'm not going to back Audrey's play, though, if her action, her to be verb is will kill Keith to keep Moth Friend.
I'm not saying I'll kill Keith. Listen, I'm telling you right now, like there's a lot on the line here. And frankly, we've already got we've got Billy that we're covering for and going to have to take care of. We've got what's his face in the basement. Like, we're covering up a lot of shit here at this point. I don't think to murder has to be the only solution we've got. And
You're good. I think roll to manipulate someone, the sort of stakes being like, I will take care of this. I will
11.
Keep this. Holy shit. All right. On a 10 plus, they'll do it for the reason you gave them. He nervously like tosses his keys up in the air, like, and catches them over and over again. And he says, okay, fine. I don't see any futures where I'm being drawn and quartered quite yet, so I suppose I can take your word for it, Aubrey.
Absolutely, and I'll make you a deal, even, like, 48 hours. You know what I mean? And if we haven't figured it out in 48 hours and you want to skedaddle, absolutely. I totally get it.
Okay. I'll leave you all to it. And he heads back inside the Winnebago.
Now that you are staying, though.
He pokes his head back out. Yes?
To Duck's point, could you maybe babysit?
You're a goat man?
Yeah. Well, one of them.
Just one. Not the chill one. The one that was
not
zero
the chill one.
He says, sure, I get bored.
Great.
Let's have him.
We're going to call this one Jonathan. Jonathan Gruff.
That's fun.
Yeah, so you take care of Jonathan Gruff.
You've thought about that for a month, haven't you?
No, it just occurred to me.
Oh, Jonathan Gruff. Okay, very good.
And then the scene suddenly ends. Hey, everybody, this is Griffin McElroy, your Dungeon Master, your best friend, and your personal helicopter pilot. Hop aboard and mind the blades. Thanks for listening to episode 18 of the Adventure Zone Amnesty. I just want to say sorry that it is late. While I'm recording this, I don't even know how late it is going to be. We spent a lot of the last couple weeks working on projects. And then the sort of few days that I had set aside to finish the episode, Henry got pretty sick, and so I was hanging out with him. So that is why the episode's late. Sorry about that. As we move into the holidays and we have some live shows coming up, I'll try to get the post-production shit back on schedule. But hey, for now, I'm going to stop apologizing and tell you about some of our sponsors.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose-your-own-adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Got some Jumbotrons here. This one's for Pumpkin, and it's from Puppy, who says, hello, my love. I wanted to wish you a happy anniversary or happy month-iversary, depending on when you hear this. You're the most important human in my life, and I am so thankful every day I get to spend it being geeky with you. You are the sweetest, kindest boy, and you love me better than I could ever ask for. Love you, Puppy. You're the best. This one's an interesting sort of Schrodinger's cat, because it does say the suggested time frame is our anniversary is at the end of next month. And we're kind of close to the end of a month. So I'm going to say circle gets the square. Oh, no, we're not, are we? It's right in the middle of the month. Well, fuck. Here's a message for Derek, Christian, and Ripley. It's from David, who says, shout out to the dog pound. I love you guys. Hope you had a bomb birthday, Christian. Derek, you're the best DM and most wholesome fellow. Ripley, you wear the best peep suits and love your babies like a boss. To good times had and great times to come, my best to Greg and Rebecca on your child Porter. This may be the single most efficient use of a Jumbotron I've ever seen. Everyone got a fucking hand on this ball. David, this is you really got your money's worth. Congratulations. Thank you for tweeting about the show using the Zonecast hashtag. If you do that, you might end up as a character on the show. We are entering like the last episode and a half or so of this monster hunt. We'll move on to a new one after that. And there'll be room for some new characters in there. So we also just appreciate you spreading the word. That is how we have garnered most of our audience. And we are so appreciative for everybody who has helped get our show out there in front of more people. Thank you to Maximum Fun also. You can go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great shows there. Shows like Story Break and Switchblade Sisters and Can I Pet Your Dog? And so many more, all at MaximumFun.org. We have other shows and stuff at McElroyShows.com. And if you really want to stay up on the latest of McElroy news, you can subscribe to our mailing list, which is at bit.ly/McElroyMail, all one word, and get the buzz and get the scoop. All right, that is it for this episode. The next episode is going to go up on Thursday, November 29th, which we have a live show in Denver that day, so it'll be up around Thursday, November 29th. So we'll talk to you then. Bye. You three, four, five?
Yeah,
if five. Keith counts, because he's...
And I think Barkley's probably there, too, at this point. He's been...
Six, and...
Thacker's there, too, but I don't know if you count him.
Seven? Yeah, the all of you are back in the Pine Guard headquarters under Amnesty Lodge, and you have brought Keith to the infirmary. I'm just going to, like... I want to support you, Travis, as a player and as my brother. I don't know. Stitching up like a stab wound, I think is within the realm of possibility. Setting a broken leg is maybe not, but...
Well, I assume we've got some like painkillers or something, right? Some kind of...
Okay.
Like, I don't think my goal right now is to fix him. Like,
Jesus Christ. Okay.
You've got to let me play it out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. I think that I wanted to give you all sort of investigation time during this part. So if you want to like set that up, then I think this is the time to do it. But you all are sort of here, and the situation is fairly calm. I mean, Thacker's still in the panic room, and you all are eventually going to need to feed him or whatever the fuck. But I guess you cross that bridge when you come to it.
So Keith is still unconscious, so we're all just kind of standing around looking at him, I guess. Like,
you're all sort of praying. You're praying over Keith in this moment.
All right. Amen. Listen, guys. First off, great prayer. I could really
Good one.
I could really feel the Lord working in this converted veterinarian's office tonight. secondly, here's what we got. I think things that are still lingering. One, we know that Juno is involved somehow. I got to figure out what Juno's up to or how Juno's tied in to this whole thing. And Billy, I need you, and I'm pointing at him, I need you to take Ned into the forest and show him what you're growing. And I'll give you, you know, some oats or whatever.
Scooby snacks.
Scooby snacks. Yeah, that I love
pizza.
That. This is my
pizza.
Gritty Scooby-Doo reboot 2018. Ned is Shaggy. Billy is Scooby.
Come on, Billy.
Let's get that art. Twitter, get that art into my box. Post haste. Julia, I need fan art of my dad as Shaggy and this goat man as Scooby. And then
Aubrey needs to murder this boy.
I think, Aubrey, you're going to kill this boy named Keith.
I'm not going to kill anybody.
So you're going to kill Keith,
And I'm not going to kill Keith.
I'll go talk to Juno. And then Ned, do you and Billy want to look up, check out the plant or whatever it is they're growing?
Yeah.
My vote is beanstalk. By the way, if we're putting in, that would be awesome.
That'd
be cool. Love
or a great big Audrey, feed me, Seymour.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense what you just said.
Audrey was the plant.
Yeah.
Audrey 2 was the plant.
We already have an Audrey on our team.
I'm Aubrey.
That would be confusing. No, I'm saying it would be confusing.
Okay. I will take Billy into the woods because that seems like the safest thing to do, to go into the night's dark woods. And it'll give me some opportunities to sing some songs from Into the Woods, because that's kind of my thing. I would suggest, Aubrey, that as you deal with Keith, you bring in Jake Cool Ice, because it seems like they have beef and it might make the murdering go a little easier.
I'm not going to murder him.
At least be open to the idea. Just think about it.
All right. I believe that's... And then the scene suddenly ends. That's such a powerful card. Why have I never played that one before? It could have got me out of so many scrapes these past few years. I think what happens is Ned and Duck leave to go and Billy leave to go do their respective things. And why don't we just like stick with the scene of Aubrey now over Keith, who is starting to sort of be what's the word I'm looking for? Be rousing back to consciousness.
I'm going to say that too. In the meantime, I have somehow like strapped down Keith's leg so that in his like waking up, he won't like thrash around and
you want it to be quick and painless.
I'm not going to kill Keith.
So humane, okay, Travis. All right, Dexter. He wakes up.
Put plastic down.
Yeah, don't make a mess.
He looks kind of groggy.
Hello, Keith.
He says, "Hey." What the hell did you do to me? What's going on?
Now, I didn't do anything. How are you doing?
Bad. I was...
Yeah, you were attacked by a goat man, right?
Was that real?
Yeah, unfortunately that was.
Where's my bike?
Your bike was trash, Keith. I'm sorry. The goat man tore it up pretty good.
He tries to get up and...
I wouldn't.
He immediately like winces and says, "Where are we? Is this a hospital?"
Well, we're somewhere safe, Keith. But before we get y'all fixed up, I need to talk to you. And I don't know why I'm falling into a West Virginia accent, except that you're doing it now. I'm mirroring it.
It's intoxicating.
Listen, it really is.
I don't know what the fuck you think you're doing. You need to get me to a hospital. You need to help.
Well, Keith, I would say at this point, I don't need to do anything. At this point, you are the one who needs to listen. Do you understand?
I think you need to do something here because he has started to yell for help. He realizes he's been kidnapped. And of course, that's like the first thing.
I'm going to do something I've always wanted to do in real life.
Okay.
Aubrey snaps her fingers and her right hand ignites in flame.
Okay. you're trying to like intimidate him. I don't think this is a role. This would be intimidating for anyone.
Yep.
He stops his shouting and looks at your hand and he says, "I fucking knew it. I fucking knew that you were doing something weird back up at the ski slopes."
Okay.
What is this?
Well, that is a big question, Keith. And what it is none of your goddamn business.
He like smiles and like immediately winces again and like reaches for his leg and he says, "Listen, they're Harry Potter." Like
Aubrey starts lowering her hand towards his face.
Okay.
You're gonna stop talking and you're gonna listen. Now I'm here to do good. I'm helping. Because imagine that if I weren't helping, you wouldn't have woken up. Do you understand me, Keith?
He nods.
And now, if you agree, I'm going to get a doctor, and we're going to say that you were in an accident riding your bike down a hill, you broke your leg and hit your head on a tree in the fall, and we can get you all fixed up, right? But I want you to understand something, Keith. If you breathe a word of anything that you've seen, I will burn you from the inside out. Do you understand me?
This is a manipulate someone. And it's a, it, I think this is like a pretty big one,
a
right?
A damn good one.
This is determining whether or not he's going to keep this secret or not. And the thing you're giving him is not being burned alive from the inside out.
Correct. Nope.
Yeah-oh.
How much luck do I have left?
I mean, you still have luck.
Yeah, I'm going to use a luck. This is very important.
I would say this is, if not now.
Right. Yeah.
If not now, then when? Because I could
burn my luck. Yeah.
I could take a hard move here that could be pretty fucking hard. Yeah. Okay, go ahead and mark it in the character sheet.
I did.
All right, you're over halfway through your luck, and again,
does that also give me experience if you use luck, or is it like you use luck and it's an automatic success?
It doesn't. You don't get experience. It's a success. He takes a beat, and I think his pride is like more than his pain, like keeping him from making this decision. He does not like sort of somebody lording power over him, but he says, "All right. All right, well, you gotta tell me one thing. I won't tell anybody. I don't want to get killed. I just want to get back home and go to bed. Well, I probably should get to the hospital and get my leg fixed up first. But you gotta tell me one thing, Aubrey. Was that the fucking Mothman?
Don't be ridiculous, Keith."
He, I think, slumps back down to the table. And
when he slumps back down, like the fire immediately goes out of Aubrey's hand, and she just starts shaking, like, you know, that like brave face, because like I picture myself in this scenario of like she was bluffing. I mean, I think that using her magic to hurt someone,
yeah, like, for sure.
And so I think like this adrenaline then of like thank God it fucking worked, you know, like shaking, yeah. And she slumps too, you know, and like, yeah, pretty exhausted. I just want to establish like
for sure like that it, and it definitely does work. Like I think the next things that happen, and they don't have to like happen on screen, or you get him to the hospital and he does as you say and does not put everybody on blast. Let's do Duck next. Duck, you when you go like looking for Juno, you realize she's on service. On in the Monongahela forest tonight. And when you get to the ranger station that you all sort of operate out of, one of the walkie-talkies she's not there. And one of the walkie-talkies has been pulled out of like the charging cradle where all the walkie-talkies are. And so you call out to her in order to find her, unless you all share some sort of telepathic link. I think this is like the most narratively logical way for you to find her. She tells you where she is. She is she's in this like grove of trees just off one of the main paths through the forest. It's actually fairly close to the ranger station where you're at. It's sort of late evening as you get into the grove where she is. There's you know, bright moonlight overhead, and she's carrying a lantern, you've got a flashlight, and you see her as you walk into this grove. She's sounding kind of upset on the radio, and as you arrive, you see why. All around this grove are signs of just petty vandalism. There's graffiti that's gone up on some of the trees surrounding you. There are chunks that have been crudely chopped out of a handful of pine trees all around this grove. And you find Juno bent over a stump, and she's laboring with something. She's using a claw hammer to try and pry these long copper nails, almost like these long copper spikes that someone has pounded into a stump. And she looks up at you as you enter the grove, and she says, "Seems like we missed quite the party here, Duck."
Yeah. I hate to see this sort of thing. It always bums me out.
She wipes her nose like on her jacket sleeve and gets to work trying to like pry these copper nails out of the stump again. She says, "Probably those hornets getting up to no good."
Yeah. Yeah, you know, about that. Here, let me help you with those. Let me give it a shot.
Okay.
And I want to try to pull one out. I guess. I'm not saying that, like, she can't, just that there's probably other things.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots to do around here. Yeah. Fine. Yeah, you, I mean, you very, I mean, it takes a bit, right? There's like a dozen of these, like, long, thick copper nails, not like railroad spikes, more like sort of like crochet needles that have been pounded into this stump. And you are able to sort of pull them out with this claw hammer fairly easily. And she starts walking around, picking up trash and throwing it into a bag. She says, I don't get it, Duck. A bunch of kids going around coming into our forest and trying to kill a bunch of trees what's older than they are, and for what?
Now, Juno, as I keep telling everybody, it's not our forest, it's their forest. We just keep it, you know, safe so it'll still be there when they're grown up and not a bunch of little idiots.
But if they keep doing shit like this, Duck, it ain't gonna be here. I just, it boggles the mind. I don't remember getting into anything like this back in my, you know, teen years, do you?
Yeah, no, but, I mean, not in the forest. Nah, there's plenty of closed down places. We used to go into, Altizer's, and remember that old department store? It was like a furniture store. We used to go in there, and because they kept saying they were going to reopen, but it'd been like 10 years. We used to go in there and get high and play roller derby. We would like with the our like roller hockey. Remember, we put on skates.
You know how kids always get high and play roller hockey.
A fucking teenager. What do you want?
She laughs and she says, "I haven't thought about that and." Damn, Doug, I can't remember how long.
I'm just saying, we had a different setting, but we were still pretty stupid.
I know, but this ain't just stupid, Duck. This is mean, and it just feels like folks are getting meaner, generally speaking. When I moved down here from Morgantown, I thought I'd get, you know, a cushion from all that. Yeah. I didn't think stuff like that happened in a town like this. I guess I was wrong. And she, like, walks around and sort of surveys the damage to one tree that's kind of had some bark stripped off of it. She says, I'm sorry for being so, you know, nihilistic. It's just, I'm probably still shaken up from what happened back at the train. I would have, Duck, what's been going on with you?
Gosh, Juno, I think... This is going to be hard for you to hear, but I, other than just vandalism and what all, I think the hornets are growing pot. I think they've gotten a legal grow operation going, and I've been trying to keep it quiet because if they knew we were onto them, they would burn the whole thing to the ground. And other than getting some sparrows pretty heinously baked, it would also lose us a big lead and give us a chance to put some of them in jail for a real long time. So I've been trying to keep it quiet.
This is one of Duck's better lies. I'm impressed. She says, well, I mean, I guess my next question is, are you sort of revisiting your stoner days? Because I got to tell you, Duck, I hesitated to tell you this, but I saw you, I walked into the ranger station one night, and I don't think you saw me, but you were having an animated conversation with somebody who I don't think was there. And was that you? Did you stumble across some of their stash and maybe dip into it? Or
honestly, if I got to tell you the truth, Juno, I was trying to get into character.
You're going undercover.
I've been going
with
undercover.
These teens?
I got an undercover teenage identity. It's it's Frick Richams. When I assume the identity of Frick Richams, I'm trying to get undercover with the Hornets, so I can find their illegal grow thing.
She reaches into her jacket and, like, just, like, staring at you, like, takes out, like, a piece of gum and pops it into her mouth, and she says, you are a truly miserable liar, Doug Newton.
God damn it!
She's
like, such a good... Damn it.
She laughs and like finishes like picking up the detritus all around, and she says, "Hey, when you're finished with those nails, would you mind taking them back to the station? I need to sort of keep going around the perimeter, see if I can't find something to, you know, maybe help with your investigation to take down those drug kingpins, the Hornets."
Yeah, do you know about that? I was kidding about that, of course. I was just having some fun. But I did hear some of them talking on Facebook about you and how they were going to target you. Like, they needed to get you out of the way. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit. Can you think of any reason anybody would want to get you out of the way or be targeting you, like, for this?
I almost think this is investigating a mystery, right?
It is, like, in the clubbiest right? way possible.
Yeah, go ahead and roll investigate a mystery.
Sorry, what skill does that go up against?
Sharp. Good God, a 13. 13, 10,
well,
10,
here's the
12,
deal,
11, 13. Yes, you do the like universe mind meme and know everything. Well, you get to ask questions, right? So let's see. You on a 10 plus hold 2. So what happened here? What kind of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What's being concealed here? What was it going to do?
What's being concealed here, I think, is the way I want to go.
Okay. I can tell you, and this is you acting on like what you know about sort of protecting the forest. The copper spikes that you're holding and the hammer that you're holding, it's almost apocryphal. It's almost like a myth. But there is, you know, mythos about, you know, pounding a copper nail into a tree is enough to kill it. And so, like,
kill what?
You're, like, a tree.
Okay. Oh, right.
And so the thing that you are holding in your hand, you remember that. Like, that just sort of jumps to mind from your memory as a ranger. I think the other thing that, like, you know is not being concealed is anything about Juno. She's not a secret crime fighter. She's not a you know, weapon of destiny. She's just your like friend and coworker at the ranger service.
Oh, so that's like the weakness is the copper, because we're fighting a big plant thing probably.
So
just put it up on the table there.
So why were they targeting Juno? To keep me from figuring this out? Okay.
It has future seeing powers too. Got it. Okay.
Okay.
You do still have one more question, but I almost think like one of these questions was also kind of just answered.
I'm going to use one more question.
Okay.
Can I have all these nails?
I mean, sure. You got a project, you building a deck on, you live in an apartment. Are you even allowed to build a deck?
I can't ask you another question. It's the rules.
Yes, yeah, you can have the nails, Duck. I guess it's sort of pilfering from the evidence.
Can
room,
I be honest? Yeah. I kind of thought the virtual camera would pan away after I said, "Can I have all these nails?"
Okay, yes, it
I didn't
does,
think we
you
need,
have these
need to
nails.
Continue to talk about the context in which.
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's jump to Ned to wrap things up. You are wandering through the woods at night with Billy, your trusty goat friend and companion. What's this look like?
I was thinking that maybe we were driving.
In what?
In Ned's snowcat.
Okay, I like that.
It's the snowcat Tucker Terra 1643 RE, 173 horsepower, got a 67 inch insulated 8-person cab.
That heated. Seems like a lot.
Heated exterior rearview mirror.
This is like the fucking truck from The Thing, Matt.
That's right, but it exists, and it's mine.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, I don't know that you could drive one of these through the
sure.
woods. Okay.
You don't have to follow roads with a snowcat.
All right, that's fine. All right, you're driving
So we're driving,
snowcat.
And I'm, you know, and Billy periodically will point in some direction and say pizza, and that's how Ned knows where to go.
Pizza means east. Duck means north. I feel you. All right. Yeah, I think that you all kind of like already did the convincing. I'm not going to like make you keep doing that. You already kind of convinced Billy to reveal a little bit about what it is that they are growing.
And I gave him back his watch. So you know, he looks okay. Like Ryan Gosling again.
Okay, cool. Ryan Gosling like grabs your arm as you are driving and says...
I love you, Clint, and I've always loved you.
I've always loved you. He says, duck, 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 and like holds out a hand, like, stop.
Okay. So I bring that big behemoth to a stop.
Okay. And the lights are still like on and shining down on the ground. And Billy hops out of the cab. And like, what is Billy like? What is Billy wearing? Like, did somebody give Billy clothes?
Yes, I've got him wearing the Chewbacca outfit.
We maybe haven't answered this yet, and Ned doesn't necessarily have to be the answerer of it. Like, this is more a group question, but where's Billy going to live? You know what? No, I like that scene too much. We're not going to just, like, do it out of character. We'll answer that eventually. I want the, like, who gets to put up Billy scene. He hops out and he is wearing, I guess, the Wookiee costume, which is nice and warm and also probably a little bit wet. And he is just kind of trudging through the snow that's still on the ground. And every few feet or so, you see him stop and like brush snow away, like looking for the forest floor. And he like beckons you to hop out and look with him.
So Ned hops out a little gingerly because he's still recovering from the horrible stab wound that he suffered.
It was more of a slash wound, and go ahead and heal one harm from that because time has passed. And I think like it was not a very like serious wound, and I think that you probably got fixed
maybe
up
not
in the,
to you.
You probably got fixed up in the infirmary also. So go ahead and like get rid of one of those harms.
Okay, you know, is kind of following along in the snow behind Billy, kind of looking around. Is this? I know Ned would be investigating a mystery. I know that's got to be
sure
what he's here to do.
And because you have like a guide, I would definitely give you +1 for it on that roll.
Okay, but does he want to use it now or just
continue
to follow
Billy?
Yeah,
we can use it to inform this entire scene. Like that's how this game works. Is like that you do this roll and it sort of figures out what the scene's going to look like. So I definitely think that rolling it now is the way to go.
Okay, so we're going to investigate a mystery.
Okay.
And, please, let me have a decent roll.
You can do it, Dad.
13! Yeah.
Good Lord, okay.
Now, that is with my sharp and with the 1-point advantage you gave me.
Yes.
So I don't think everything.
I don't know if we've talked about this. I fixed roll 20, and now it's working for us in amazing, incredible ways. So that's a dope roll. So now you get to ask 2 questions. What happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What was it going to do? What is being concealed here? I will tell you, like, pretty much all these are on the table, because you are in an important investigation right now.
I think, we have to have something to investigate, right?
The investigation is you going around the woods with Billy and him showing you around.
Then
you
think the first question would be, what is being concealed here?
I have an answer to that. You and Billy sort of go around this clearing that you've stopped in, and you're just sort of trying to follow his lead and just like brushing dirt or brushing snow out of the way and looking for something. And after a few minutes, you do find something. Your hand like hits something solid as you are brushing, and it is thick. And as you sort of excavate it from the snow, what you see is a root that is just kind of just barely sort of sticking out of the ground. It almost like it sort of reached up from underground and then poked back down below. It is, I mean, it's super thick. Like you cannot wrap your hand around it. It just looks like sort of a tree root at the base of a tree, but it's like in the middle of nowhere. This tree, like the bark on it is like bright white. Not like a white, what is it? Like a cedar tree? There's types of
birch?
Trees like a birch. Yes. I don't know shit about trees. I don't know why I did this fucking art.
No,
but,
no way.
Yeah, it is. It's not like that. It is like bright white. And, you find one of those and Billy bleats and calls you over and he found another one. Then you all look around more and you find another one still. And what is peculiar is all three of them seem to be like pointing in the same direction. Almost like you can triangulate if you like follow where they are pointing. You can kind of like follow the trail of roots that these things have. That is what is being literally concealed here by the snow.
Can Ned save his next question? Can they follow the roots and then ask a question when they arrive at wherever they're going to arrive?
Yes, for sure. Billy starts walking on foot. I think the thicket here is getting like a lot thicker, so much so that your snow cat could not necessarily roar over it. Not only that, like it would be tough to follow this path of roots.
Griffin, a thicket's no trick. The trick is to pick it apart with a stick.
Okay.
See, I knew somebody would do Into the Woods.
Yes,
yeah,
for
you're
sure.
Welcome. You're welcome, everyone.
Okay, so Ned activates the security system on the snowcat.
Good night, Ned. Would you like a fresh cup of tea when you return?
No, Michael. No, I guess Kit was money.
Powering down.
So Ned's whacking through the thicket with his sticket and following Billy, who I guess isn't having quite as much trouble getting through the brush, right?
No. Billy knows the way now. He is taking you through the thicket, and you two are just kind of like with some effort, like working your way through it, pushing past bushes and brush and squeezing between pine trees, and it's becoming like so thick that you can't like you can barely see the sky through the canopy above. And after a few minutes of working your way through like this, Billy like holds out an arm and stops you and puts a finger up to his mouth and then points just forward, just past the thicket. You are sort of hidden from it, but you can see through the brush into the other side. And what you see is another clearing. Right away, you see one of the goatmen holding the shears, the one that you originally had assumed to be dead. He looks awful. He is sort of slumped over this massive tree in the center of this clearing. And sure enough, you see like all of these white roots leading up to the tree, and they are sort of twisted and gnarled and form this like dome at its base, reaching up. And this thing is like redwood huge, and it's not a pine tree, which is bizarre. You can tell this is a cottonwood tree. It is bright white all over. Its bark is bright white. Its leaves are dark black. Another thing that is sort of strange about this tree is its sort of like composition of its branches. There is something sort of symmetrical about the way that they split off. It looks more like a map of a nervous system more than it looks like a cottonwood tree. And this injured goat man is there and is pouring some bags of fertilizer on its roots and trying to tend to it as much as it can, but it looks like it is sort of like having a rough time. That is what you see. You still have one question.
What can it do?
Yep. The tree shudders. And as it does so, the goat man and Billy both kind of like snap to attention, and you start to hear this sickening cracking sound. And as you look up towards the the boughs of the tree. You see one still like particularly large bough that hasn't like split off into this like very, very intricate pattern of symmetrical branches. This bough starts to split in half longwise. It is like it is tearing itself in half. And as it does so, it releases these spores, what appear to be spores. And as they start falling down on you, you actually realize that they are cottonwood seeds. And you also realize that this entire time, whenever these things have happened, it hasn't been snow that's been falling on you. It has been the seeds of this massive tree. And as this bough splits and forms another sort of intricate pattern of these symmetrical branches, you hear a cracking sound immediately over your head. You see that an old dead pine tree has snapped and is falling right towards you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.